Thank you for coming. Thank you for coming out. Welcome. My name is Dubs Weinblatt. My pronouns are they, them, theirs. And I'm so excited to be here for our 8th season of the Thank You for Coming Out podcast. In 2015, I founded the queer improv show, Thank You for Coming Out, or TIFCO as we call it. And it was one of the longest running queer improv shows in New York City. In 2018, our beloved improv show became the podcast it is today, hosted and produced by Gay City News. It is an honor and a privilege to hold space for the coming out and coming into self stories our guests share. And I'm really excited and honored that my guests are here with me today. Darius is a father of four and a proud creative spirit who also channels his voice through dance as a director for dance companies in Knoxville. His journey of coming out has been rooted in growth, self-acceptance, and the courage to live authentically, not just for himself, but for his children, his students, and the community that looks up to him. Now engaged in preparing for marriage, Darius continues to inspire others by showing that love, identity, and purpose can all coexist boldly and unapologetically. And Jacques, known as Jacques, 31 years old, an Aries, Knoxville native, proud dad of two, recently engaged to Darius Ellison, embracing life's next chapter, which we will learn about today. Darius, Jacques, hello, welcome.
Hey, how are you?
Hey, what's going on?
You know what? I'm hanging in there. It's sunny out and, you know, I'll take the little things. How about you all?
Good. Just living, planning, and trying to thrive.
Yeah.
It's the same here. It's pretty decent weather out.
That's nice. That's great.
The end of the night here, kids on the couch watching TV, and we're here with you.
That's amazing. So between the two of you, I have 6 kids.
Yes.
That's like real Brady Bunch.
Yes. Yeah, 5 sons and 1 daughter.
Wow.
Princess.
That's incredible.
A lot.
Sorry, Jacques, say that again.
A lot of people say it's a Brady Bunch.
Oh, yeah. I'm not as original as maybe I was hoping I'd be. Well, that's amazing. Like what a lovely like team you're putting together. Like you could for sure play something with the eight of you. So I absolutely want to talk about your engagement, which the world was, you know, had access to because your video went viral and it was so sweet and just incredible. But first, I want to hear from each of you. So we all have different coming out stories and coming into ourselves stories. And I would love to hear a story or two from each of you so we can get to know you a little bit better.
Well, for me, it was more so not wanting to live my life for other people. More so of what makes me happy and makes me comfortable. And the most frightening part was telling my family. But to my surprise, when I guess you can say broke the news to my family, mm-hmm. everybody was way more supportive than I thought. And it made it easier to just be me and live my life how I see fit to live my life. So I didn't have one of those moments to where I felt alone or felt like everybody was against me. So I guess that made it easier for me. And as I get older, sometimes I do look back on it like I hear stories about how some people, when they try to come out, they're being disowned or shunned away and just treated differently. And it breaks my heart because it's like I didn't have that same reaction. So it was nerve-wracking because you never know. But
Yeah.
then once I did do it, it became easier. And even to this day, like now, me and my family, we can crack joke about it and make fun of it all while still being loving within the moment. So.
Yeah. One, thank you for sharing that. That's I love to hear that, you had such a positive experience. I know that, in the 7.5 years I've been doing this podcast, one of the like common themes that I hear is that kind of unknown, like you just don't know how someone's going to react when you come out to them, and that is a big feeling. It's scary, and so I'm really happy that you were surprised. And I'm curious, if you had like reason to be. Let me figure out a different way to ask this. So I know like my parents used to say, like pretty transphobic thing, well, not pretty transphobic things, but just like off, like one-off comments here and there that like they didn't realize were so hurtful, and also didn't realize that I was trans. And so, but I knew what they were saying, and so I was always afraid to tell them because I was like, well, they said those negative things, they're probably going to hate me. And so I'm
Yeah.
curious if there were like moments of your like family life that gave you kind of the information of like, maybe this won't go well if I come out, or if it was just like a general feeling of feeling scared.
It wasn't so much family life, but growing up, just seeing how people of the LGBTQ community were treated, it's like I don't want to be treated that way.
Yeah.
So it kind of made me like not necessarily live a lie, but do what's comfortable for others. So it was kind of like you have to be this way around these people. But when you get around these people, then you can be yourself. Like I had a best friend in high school and she knew before anybody. So it's like I was able to talk to her about things that I wasn't able to talk to other people about. So it wasn't until my adult life that I was able to go to my family and have those conversations. So it wasn't, to answer the question, it wasn't family life that scared me. It was just growing up and seeing things for myself.
Yeah, the media that we consume, and just like our friend groups and their peripheral groups, really have a big impact on us, whether we are, fully are aware of it or not. One more question, and then Jacques, it'll be your turn. So just to tee you up. So that's my one and only sports reference. We'll be back.
Oh man.
but so Darius, when like did you have so you said that you came out to your family in your adult life, but you had a friend in high school that knew before anybody. Like w were there was there a certain moment in your like growing in your adolescence and your youth where you like understood yourself to be part of the LGBTQ community, and like what was that moment like for you? If and when that happened.
I would probably say that moment was probably in my high school years. For me, it was more confusion than anything, and kind of wishing that it wasn't me. So it was kind of a hard pill for me to swallow for myself at first. And like I said, just growing up and seeing things as a human, you never want to be treated differently than others. And even to this day, being gay, being bi, being trans, being any of those things that fall under that community is still frowned upon in a major way. So it's like it's been around for years. It's never going anywhere. but just being a high school kid who is trying to figure out the world at that moment, having that extra weight, it was tough. It was very tough. But
Yeah.
like I said, that best friend I had, she helped me through a lot until I was able to build up the courage and just tell the world. So
Yeah. Are you still friends with that friend?
I am. We live in different states at the moment, but we do keep in touch.
That's nice. That's really sweet. I'm glad that you had that one person that you could confide in. This is kind of wild, but as far as I could remember, that I didn't come out to anybody in high school. That like my coming out story has always been that I have come out in college. And I was cleaning out my closet the other day, and I found these notebook pages that had been ripped out, where I was talking, like writing back and forth between me and like a mentor friend of mine, where I had to have come out to her based on like what we were talking about. And the date was when I was in high school. So I'm like, I can't even remember coming out in high school. It's just wild, but like, I feel lucky for me and for you that we had people that we could trust, that we could talk to, because you mentioned the extra weight, how much that like can take a toll, and being able to share that the load with somebody else is always like really helpful. So I'm glad that you
Yeah.
had that.
Thank you.
Yeah. Darius, thank you for sharing. And now, Jacques, are you ready?
No, but let's do it anyways. You know, like you said, hey,
Okay.
we can always
So yeah, so
talk
if
some other.
you a coming out or coming into self story that you'd like to share with us.
Well, I really don't have a coming out story because the way I pretty much dealt with it was I don't ask, don't tell kind of deal. You know, I've always lived like I don't care, so what, or whatever. But it's more so living my truth kind of story than a coming out story.
Yeah.
When I met Darius, I decided to live my truth and who I am. That's pretty much how it went for me. Got any questions you can ask me, like based off of that? Like
Yeah,
let's.
absolutely. For sure. Yeah, thank you for the jumping off point. Well, actually, let's do this. So, how did the two of you meet? And then we'll kind of like break it down from there.
Gotcha. Well, I pretty much messaged him. I knew him through friends, had a mutual friend on Facebook, and I messaged him. Hey, what's up? What you doing? I know somebody that you know. And the conversation started from there.
And did you message him with the intention of like flirting or like a crush, or
Definitely.
was, yes, is that what you said? Definitely.
Yes,
Okay. So,
I did.
so, so, okay. So, but did you meet in person first before you DM'd?
No.
We didn't
No,
meet in
I
person.
think I see him in a picture. And I was like, oh, she knows him. And so I went to our mutual friends and hey, we had the same mutual friend. And I decided to send him a message.
So it's like literally love at first sight. You saw a picture of him and you're like, I have to be in conversation with this person immediately. That's amazing. So what did it feel like when he responded?
Oh, he really responded. That's pretty much what went through my head at first. And then I mean I just chopped it up with him and we end up hanging out. Hanged out turns into hang out all the time. Hanging out all the time turns into my best friend. Best friend turns out I can't live without him.
It's So amazing. So, what was the timeline between the first DM and the proposal?
Wait, year and a half, 2 years?
Yeah, a year and a half. Going on 2 years, yeah.
Okay, gorgeous. So, all right, so Jacques. You send this message, which is so brave and incredible, and you're met with, yeah, let's keep talking. So, what did it, as it kind of progressed from like DM to hanging out in person, how did it feel? Because I know that you're saying that you take the like, I don't care, I'm just gonna live my truth. But was there any kind of like hesitation or fear around like being in a gay, in a queer relationship?
Yes, it was. It was pretty much living out loud. I was scared to live out loud for everyone to know. And it always falls into the being judged and being watched and being looked at, which is not my forte. I don't like to be at center of attention from for anything, good or bad, you know, but he just took that fear away from me, and it just, I didn't care.
That's so romantic. I'm gonna cry.
You're
It's so sweet.
gonna make him cry. Such a cry baby. Look, listen.
And so for someone who, look how red I am. So for someone who doesn't like to be the center of attention, your engagement video went viral. So walk us through what your face right now. Okay, so did you know like that Darius was gonna like propose to you at some point, or was that also a complete shock?
No, yes, that was a complete shock too, because I felt like we were at war trying to figure out who was going to propose to who.
Okay.
So I was more so like beat me to it.
Where did you also have a plan to propose?
I didn't have a plan yet. I wanted to see it happen though.
Yeah.
It
Okay.
was definitely my goals and in the future.
Incredible. You still can.
Right.
So, okay,
Time.
so Darius, walk us through like how did you know when you were like, okay, I want to marry this guy? And then what was it like? How did you figure out the plan, and did you have co-conspirators who were helping you? Like, take us through. And then take us through to the video. I mean, talk to us about it.
Okay, so the moment that I knew my kids were here spending time with us, and then it was time for them to go back home. And we were in the store, I think we were grocery shopping, and we were on the cereal aisle. And I was looking at something, and I turned around and looked at him, and his eyes were watering. So I asked him, I said, "Why are you crying?" And no, I said, "Are you crying?" He said, "Yes." I said, "Why are you crying?" He said, "I just miss the boys." And nobody I've ever dealt with, dated, or anything has ever cried when it was time for my kids to go back home. So for me to see that, I was like, he really cares for my kids. And, you know, with anybody with children, if you're dating, you want somebody that you know if you were not there, your kids would still be in good hands. And I've always felt that way with him. So to see that and witness that firsthand, and it not be something he does behind closed doors where he doesn't try to let me see him crying, to actually see that, that was heart, that like it was warming my heart. So that moment I was like, I can't let him go. Like if you feel that way about my kids, then you're meant to be here. So that was the moment I knew.
That's amazing. What cereal did you get?
It was probably my favorite two cereals are Captain Crunch and Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Ooh.
So it was one of those that I was grabbing.
So both
The
are
family side.
incredible. Oh yeah. I get I'm I am I have one roommate and I get the family size. I'm like, I am my own family and I'm gonna eat all the
And
cereal.
surprisingly, the kids may get a different cereal, but because we pick one, they want ours when we get here. So I always get the family size because I know everybody's going to want some.
I love that. Okay, so that's adorable, and I love that so much. Okay, so I can't live without you. So then you decide to start planning this engagement. So talk to us about how you decided to do what you did, and then tell us what you did.
So there's, I don't know if you ever heard of this R&B only concert that travels, it's like a tour, it's like a DJ set. I've been to two and I love it. He's never been to one. So they had one in Chattanooga, which is literally up the street from us, and it was on his birthday. So I was like, okay, this may be the best opportunity to do this. So leading up to his birthday, I called my mom to get my mom to see if she approves of me proposing to him. She gave us her blessing, and then I called his mom and asked his mom, and she said yes. And then I also called his dad and asked his dad, and he said yes.
Which I didn't know. I found that out later.
Yeah, he found this part, he found that out after the proposal happened. So he didn't know I was in conversation with any of these people beforehand. So fast forward to the day, his birthday, we wake up and we get ready. I think I had to do something that morning. And then I came back and we got ready. So I, the outfit that I had on, my pockets on my pants, like I couldn't fit anything in my pockets without you not noticing anything in my pockets. So the ring was in the box in my sock all day.
Oh my gosh.
All day. So I'm dry. He didn't drive it all that day. I drove. He got to be the passenger. He got to be spoiled that day. It was his birthday. So I'm driving with this ring in my sock he knows nothing about. So we get to chat and we decided to go out to eat before the concert. And then we walk to the venue for the concert, and the venue's it's nice. It was pretty decent size. So everything's starting now. So we're listening to the music, we're having a good time, and then this girl, shout out to Raven, my classmate, she happened to be there. So she saw me and she walked over to me to give me a hug. So I introduced them because that was his first time meeting her. So during intermission, I went to go use the bathroom. When I came out the bathroom, Raven was sitting in a chair next to where the bathrooms were. I went to her, I was like, hey, I need your help with something. And she was like, what you need? I said, I'm gonna give you a signal. I just need you to have your camera ready. So she comes to where we were standing at, and they went into this part of the show where they were first playing the toxic love songs, and then they went into like the actual love songs. So once they started playing those love songs, I was like, okay, now's the time. So I played it off by going to go dance with Raven, but I was telling her, get your phone out. So I was slightly behind him and I was still dancing, and he was paying me no attention at all. So then I get down on a knee, which you see in the video, and then I tap him on the side. And when he turns around, that's when he sees me. But before he said yes, because he does not like attention, he does not like everybody staring at him, he was trying to pick me up off the ground. So as he's trying to pick me up, I'm not moving. So then he looked at me And that's when he just kept saying, yes. So after he said yes is when I got up. So he actually, we gave each other promise rings before. He took his promise ring, which because of his job, his was one of the rubber ones. Instead of taking that off, put in his pocket to keep, he takes it off and he throws it into the crowd. To this day, we have no idea where the ring is. And he puts on his now engagement ring. So the R&B only concert is over with. Everybody's congratulating us. They even gave us the MC that was there, gave us a shout out while he was on the mic. So now we're walking to the car. We get in the car, and he told me, he was like, I kept trying to get you up, but I realized you weren't going to get up until I answered you. And I was like, yep, I was like, so, and then I told my best friend about it as we were driving back to Knoxville. I think he called his best friend and told his best friend about it. And then on Easter Sunday, because I'm the type of person where I like to interrupt people's day and kind of drop a bomb and then disappear for a while. So Easter Sunday, everybody's with family, everybody's either going to church, going out to eat. So I took it upon myself after talking to him to post the video in the announcement on Easter Sunday. So that's how the world found out. That's how, other than our immediate family, that's how the rest of our families found out, was by the video being posted.
How the world found out.
Yeah. So, okay. Thank you. That was the best play-by-play ever. Okay. So, Jacques is trying to pick you up and tell you to stop it, but also thrilled. Okay. So, what's going through your mind? Like, besides, like, get up, Jacques. Like, so, Jacques, just tell us what's going. What? Tell us your side.
Literally, the first thing going through my mind is like flashlight, flashlight, flash. They're just like raising up. I'm like, oh man, everybody is staring. I was like, please get up, please. Everybody is staring. And then I was just like, oh man, he's proposing. Yes, this is what I want to do. Yes, get up. Yes, please get up. Yes. So that was, it happened really fast. It felt like slow motion in my head, but it happened really, really fast. I watch
So,
the video almost every day.
aw, do you
I
cry?
can't help but watch. No, I don't cry, but my stomach drops every time I turn around. It still
Oh,
feels like
that's so sweet. Okay, so you post a video on Easter, it goes viral. So how has the response been? Like, are people generally like very supportive and loving and happy? Is it a mixed bag? Like, what have you found?
it's more good than bad.
Yeah. But I would say, with me posting it, I didn't know it was going to go viral. There wasn't my intentions for it to go viral, Mike, because I didn't want to send out a million text messages. Hey, we're engaged. Hey, we're engaged. So I just put it on my Facebook where I know all of my family would see, tag him in it, all his family would see. Kill a million birds with one stone. So I think I posted it, and then we went to go spend the day with our family. So by the time we got home that night and I went back on my Facebook, I was like,
6,000,
this is
12,000,
crazy.
turn a
So
hundred thousand. I
then,
was like, oh.
and it's like the numbers, even to this day, a whole month and what later, the views are still growing and the comments are still coming in. And like you said, there's been more good, but there are some comments in there that make you think there are still some very hateful and miserable people in the world.
Very miserable. They only be paying attention to the video. It's just out. It's like they see like 3 seconds of the video, and they just come up with whatever. I laugh at them.
Yeah, we've actually, like, if we see a new comment and there's like something negative, when we see each other after being at work all day, we'll be like, oh, I saw this comment, and we'll sit here and laugh about it and talk about all the comments we've been seeing. But the positive that we've been getting, not only through comments, but when people may see us out somewhere, like that's what makes it all joyful. That's what makes the excitement of being engaged still there. Because I know with some people, when they do get engaged, that excitement tends to die down after a while. But we still get congratulations every day. Everybody was like, oh, this is the wedding we all need to be going to. Make sure I get an invitation. So it's exciting. We don't really pay the negative comments any mind, really. There was one though that I did have to address, because it's different if you make your comment on the proposal video. But this one particular person went to my Instagram account and scrolled to a post that I put up for Father's Day of me and my sons, and made a very derogatory comment under that post. So I was like, well, since you took the time to find this post and say what you said, I'm gonna find time to respond back to you today. Because I was like, I'm not gonna play with you behind any of our kids. We're grown, we can handle ourselves. But our kids, our oldest is 13 and our youngest is 5, 6. So I'm like, you're not going to comfort them at no point in your lifetime. But other than that, we just let them say what they say and hope they're ready for the video of the wedding when that drops.
Yeah. Ooh, I can't wait. Yeah. Oh man. Yeah. There are just some miserable people out there who just need to find love for themselves. It's terrible. So, how have your kids responded? Like, are they excited to that you all are getting married?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, my son's definitely he's impatient, very impatient. So he's like, you getting married tomorrow, daddy? I'm like, no, if it's not, we got a whole a couple of days go past you, like, next week is when you get married, daddy. I'm like, no, Jacques, no.
Well, I can't
But
wait
yes,
till
they're ready.
they're right. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
They already.
I can't wait till it's actually next week, and then you'll be able to be like, yeah, next week. So, have there been like what have been some of the like really nice messages you've gotten? Like something that like because I know like when I share things on the internet, I get a lot of messages from folks being like, I like you're the first like trans Jewish person I've ever seen, or like I feel so seen. And I'm curious if you have had messages where people are just like looking up to you, or you're like kind of their first time being able to see themselves.
I don't think I haven't seen one in that aspect. Like, most of them I've been seeing are like, congratulations. Oh, this is so beautiful. They're such a beautiful couple, things of that nature. I did see one that was like, they've never seen a gay proposal themselves. So to actually see it, they were like, it's good to see that, to let others know, like, they need love too. They find love just like everybody else. They deserve to have what everybody else, whether it's a full-blown wedding, whether they want to just go to the courthouse, they deserve to have those things just like everybody else.
Yeah, absolutely. Jacques, did you receive any messages of sorts?
I said, not like that, like someone's looking up to us. It's a lot of, like I said, it's a lot of positive ones on there. My favorite ones are saying, like, people like, oh, are you cutting onions? I'm not crying. You are. Like, I can't stop watching this video. Every time it comes across my feed, I cry. I like those posts like that. They remind me of myself.
Yeah,
There's some
for
knowledge.
sure. That's so nice. So, okay, I want to actually rewind for a second. And Jacques, I have another question for you, which is, so it was like when you met Dar or when you saw a picture of Darius and you're like, oh, I gotta like talk to this person immediately. Were there times before that leading up to it where you had like inklings of knowing that you were part of the LGBTQ community, or was it really just like upon viewing your fiance, your current
Yes,
fiance?
I've dated same sex, and but Darius is the only one I've taken around my family,
Okay, gotcha.
so that made it real.
And it's like it's so lovely to hear, Darius, that you like got such positive response from y'all's parents to be like, yeah, you have our blessing. That's amazing.
Yeah, it was. I think I was smiling more from just those conversations, because it wasn't just like, yes, like it was, you can tell the excitement and the responses that I was getting when I was asking them. And it was just like, and it was more so of like, about time you asked, like we've been waiting on this type of yes. So it was genuine, and it put the thrill in it for the most part.
That's awesome. What are you each most looking forward to once you're married?
Forever. I'm looking forward to just waking up to the same person, talk to the same person. Well, this is just forever. I want it to last forever. I want this feeling to last forever.
I'm looking forward to getting on his nerves.
All the way around.
Do you have a specific way that you like to get on his nerves?
No, not really. I'm a messy person. So like I just find stuff to mess with him about. Like I may walk by and push him, or just little stuff, which I don't really think it gets on his nerves, because
So I said the other way around.
I
I can give
think
you a few.
he looks forward to that type of stuff, because we work all day. So when I do come home, it's like he's literally been waiting for me to come home.
That's so nice. I like these are like goals, like relationship goals right here is like the two of you. It's
You should
so sweet.
have it at
Yeah, exactly. So, if either of you could give advice to your younger self, what would it be?
I'll let you go first.
I would tell my younger self to stop trying to impress everybody. Just be you. Yeah, that's pretty much. Stop trying to impress everybody and just go with the flow and be you.
Yeah,
Live
I
your own
love
life.
that. So let's say that you received that advice as a kid. What would you have done differently?
Would I do differently?
Yeah, what would you do if someone said, just stop trying to impress everybody? What's the first thing you would do?
Now I want to change my answer. I would go back and tell myself to listen more than I talked.
Okay. Great.
Definitely. I would definitely listen more than I talked. Like I said, and that just went with wanting to be seen when I was younger, and
Yeah.
want to impress everybody. I was a jokester, wanted to be loud, and like I said, everyone wanted to see me.
Totally get that. I definitely love attention, so I'm right there with you. Well, that's so interesting though, because if you were as a kid, it sounds like you really wanted to be the center of attention, and now you don't want to at all. What do you think changed?
You know, I actually dug into that with some of my friends, and it's a deeper story involved in that.
Great. Maybe part two, you can tell us.
Oh yeah,
But
heck yeah.
yeah, cool. All right, Darius, what advice would you give your younger self?
I would probably tell my younger self to embrace more. Embrace and just be free.
Yeah. So I love that. Embrace and be free and just like live, just live and don't care what anybody else thinks, even though, it's a lofty goal. It's hard to do.
It is. And I think this, it can be easier said than done.
Yeah.
But I think as we get older and we truly grasp the concept that we only have one life to live, I think it makes it more plain, like do what makes you happy. And I feel like that just makes a lot flow easier.
Yeah. I'm also just thinking about like the role modeling you're doing for your kids of just like, living your truth and being happy and being goofy with each other and caring for each other. And also crying. I know like a lot of men don't cry. And so then they teach their kids not to cry. And so the fact that you openly cry, Jacques, is like incredible. And like, I know like it sounds silly that I'm saying it, but like, I teach workshops with colleagues around like toxic masculinity and how bad and dangerous it is. And so, what I'm, gathering from the both of you is like the opposite of it and just like embracing who you are and all the different pieces of, that make you who, make you this the special guys that you are. And so, I'm really grateful for that. And yeah, so I want to bring us to our I don't want to end the conversation, but I have to bring us to our lightning round of questions. So mine are a little different because generally lightning rounds are supposed to be like very easy either or questions. I got called in a few years ago that my questions were too binary. So now they're open-ended. So they're a little bit more challenging to answer, but they're just for fun. And if you start to panic, which it happens, you can skip. It's no big deal.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. So the first question is your favorite place to think.
By water.
I was going to say the same thing, but in the shower.
That's by water. It's great. Who is an influential queer person in your life?
I would say when I was in high school, I had a cousin. He's passed, but his name was Mackenzie, and he lived his life freely. And I always looked up to living my life that way as I got older.
That's amazing. That's really sweet.
I don't think I mean, Beyonce is not queer, but I mean, I know she supports the group, and I like to venture out in music. So at one point in time, I went through a Lady Gaga phase. I mean, I liked her music. I liked a lot of her music, actually, that she put out. And I feel like she was one of them at one point in time.
Beautiful. Love it. I can't wait to tell my roommate you said Beyonce. He loves
Oh, yeah, we're beehive.
Beyonce. We were at a like a Lyft or an Uber once. Drive it was the ride was like 30 minutes. And for the entire 30 minutes, he like gave a dissertation on Beyonce and like her the most recent album, and I can't remember what it's called, but he would kill me for not knowing. But anyways, he also loves Beyonce. Okay, what's a song that you can listen to on repeat forever?
Right now, I've been listening to a lot of Brent Faiyaz and his newest album. I listen to Butterflies on repeat. So check it out.
I will. Thank you.
Does it have to be one song?
Same thing. I talk too many songs that I listen to all week.
You can always change your answer later. You're not stuck with it. It's just a fun game.
I would say, it's hard to pick.
What song you listen to?
Okay, there is one song that I do really love, and it's Teddy Swims and Giveon, I think is how you pronounce his name. They have a song that they just released together not too long ago, and I love that song.
Nice. I'll have
Are
to check that out too.
you even real? I think is the name of it.
Okay, I'll check it out. What's one thing you want to be known for?
This is like the most amazing, the best father. I want to be known for that. I really strive hard. I love my father and job.
Gorgeous. I love that.
As a person that never gave up.
I want to be best friends with you guys. Okay, this one's kind of silly, but bear with me. Think of a concert that you would love to go to. What is the concert?
That hasn't happened yet, or one that has.
Either.
I know mine already. I will redo the Renaissance concert over and over and over and over.
Okay, great.
Man, I wish I was at Coachella, at Beachella, when that
Okay.
happened.
Okay, so now that
That music, drums and stuff, that's. I would have loved to have been there.
okay, so we're at Coachella and we're at Renaissance. Now, which song would you go to the bathroom during?
Oh,
I
right. I was using the bathroom before it starts.
I know. Yes, I have other people who are like, I'd wear a diaper. Okay, fine. Where do you find joy?
I find joy home with Jock and all of our kids, as chaotic as it may sound.
This is definitely my happy place, too.
Lovely. Okay, last question. You ready? Bagels or donuts?
Donuts.
I'm a chef. I'm like, oh man, because I can do a lot with a bagel. Run out of bagel. I donuts.
What's your go-to donut that you like?
Or this original
Yeah,
Krispy
glaze, hot and fresh.
Oh, God, those are so good.
Oh, we got a
Hot and
place called
fresh.
Duck Donuts here. They got maple bacon donuts. Those are pretty crazy. Those good. Those are good.
Those
So
are
I'm gonna give
good.
you an inside scoop real quick.
Okay.
If you ever drive past a Krispy Kreme and their hot and ready sign is on, you get one free donut for everybody that's in your car.
Okay, that's incredible news.
So I found that out. I was like, I have to share that with all my people that love Krispy Kreme.
That's incredible. Yeah, my parents used to live in southern Texas, and they lived like it was probably a 35-minute drive to the closest Krispy Kreme, and we're like, we're going on a road trip. Krispy
And
Kreme. It was like it was
it's well
worth
worth
it.
it.
Yes, yeah, so worth it. Darius and Jacques, thank you so much for joining me and for sharing and for just being like the two sweetest people I think I've ever met in my life. And thank you for coming out.
You're welcome.
You're
Thank you
welcome.
for
Thank
inviting
you.
us.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. A pleasure.
Thank you for coming.